Fred Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 Sarajevo Film Festival, and more specifically, we're talking about Tallinn Sarajevo, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Dana Linsson. Would you like to tell us what you are doing here at the Tallinn Sarajevo?
Sure. I'm a film critic from the Netherlands, or that's basically what I do most, and I'm here as a mentor to the Sarajevo Talents, one of those talent press projects that are happening all around the world. And we're working here with six people who are watching films. We're talking, exchanging ideas, tips and tricks, and then they're going to do some writing. And what I really like about the project here is that they have the chance to do different drafts. So they hand in one draft. We're going to discuss it. They're going to do a rewrite. So we're really going to go in-depth.
Yeah. Well, could you give me a brief overview of what exactly takes place in these discussions? What is it that you talk about?
So far, I think we've done general introductions. Basically, what you do is sort of reintroduce yourself and reintroduce your job every time and sort of discover and philosophize on the go what it is you're actually doing, because film criticism is a profession in transition. And for me as a mentor, it's always very important to find out, to hear, to listen to newer generations with different backgrounds coming from different film cultures or different cultural backgrounds, how in their countries or in their cultures film journalism or film criticism is perceived. Is it a full-time job? Of course, all of that is also really important to talk about. And but also conditions of work as a freelancer or as a staff writer, or do you combine it with programming, filmmaking? Well, and is it not just a written profession, but also, since we're talking on the radio, it's also an audiovisual profession, and it's sort of reinventing itself, I think, in an audiovisual way more and more nowadays.
Yeah. Well, now that I have the opportunity to talk to you, maybe you can tell me how exactly has the world of criticism changed in the last number of years? How has the internet impacted it as well?
For me, that's already kind of an old and worn out discussion, because that's something that was happening in the 90s with the internet, or the dot-com boom, and the rise of the new form of critics on the internet, then called whatever, amateurs or fans or all that. But we're sort of 15 years later now, and I think film critics, professional film critics, even old-fashioned film critics that are still lamenting that are sort of they got stuck in the last century. So Joanna Pavlova, my co-mentor here, and I were sort of jokingly saying, okay, film criticism is dead, and it's been dead for such a long time, so let's just talk about the reinvention or the resurrection or the reincarnation of film criticism. So, but to recap, the impact of internet on film criticism was kind of twofold. First of all, you had the rise of these so-called amateur film critics. You had very specific niches where people were specializing and talking about films they liked. And you saw that some of the revenues from print were going to the internet. So the financial basis for film criticism in print was sort of slowly decaying. Then, of course, came all these crises, so the revenues from print, from advertising, never really got back to print, but it also didn't sustain on the internet, so there was kind of a financial problem or a lack of a new business model, you might say, for web-based journalism in general. So what you saw was that a lot of professional film critics were either let go of their jobs or put into a freelance position, which kind of made it very unstable for them to make a living out of that. And then at the same time, as you can see with fan cultures, that's they are always very much kind of centered around some charismatic people. And if at some point they move on in their life, there's kind of a reinvention there as well. So basically what happened is that sort of the ground was shuffled around, and the worms were doing their job, and the rain and the ashes, like in landscaping. And what we see now is actually that you have a very fertile situation for the written press to think about what is really worthwhile to write about and to publish in newspapers, magazines, the traditional media. And then what can you do on the internet that is not, and that's very important for me, because for me, being a film critic is always being independent in the best of journalist traditions. So what can you do on the internet that keeps this independence intact and is not a part of marketing or PR strategies?
What do you think threatens the independence of a film critic?
There are other aspects at play that are complicated, like the syndication of publishing houses. So you have one critic covering for several newspapers, say, or radio stations nationwide. So you have lesser and lesser voices, which is one thing. So you have like few people determining what is good and what is bad, or I mean, I don't really like to talk about film or about cinema in terms of good and bad, where at least these value judgments are given by lesser people. And then something else that's really important is that publishing houses rely on advertising from film companies. So you have this phenomena of the press junket, where actually a local distributor pays for a chair for a journalist to sit in on a roundtable interview, and then these interviews are being published and circulated as sometimes even as exclusives. But at least the kind of the financial transaction behind it is never disclosed, and for a film distributor, it's even cheaper to pay, say, $2,000 for a chair for a journalist at a press junket in Cannes than to pay an ad, which may be more than $2,000. So that's very much of kind of an economic calculation that people make, and journalists are part of that game, but usually they're not so aware of it. But then their editors might be, or their publishers might be, so they insist on having the big interviews and the big stars in the newspapers, because that'll attract readers, or that's what they think. And here's where the basic function of journalism really is threatened, because a journalist always should go out for the news and the new, and not for that which is already known. And in film journalism, as I use this broader term, you see that a lot of publications are going for that what is already known by their readerships or their supposed readerships. So film criticism is putting itself in a position sort of behind the news, and I think that's problematic.
I think what you said is very enlightening, and what this is true, because you don't really think about it that much.
Something that's also not very often talked about, and I think in the Netherlands we come very much from a very new tradition where more and more journalists are actually trying to do their jobs as transparent as possible. So, for instance, in the film magazine I edit, Film Grant, we put specifically in an interview how it took place. So was it round table, or was it a one-on-one, and where did it take place? And we publish about these working conditions every now and then. And we have other journalists who are doing this as well. I think the most well-known is Joris Luijendijk, who also worked for The Guardian and who wrote a lot about the world of finance, who always makes a point of explaining how an article is actually conceived. And I think that's very important to do, because nowadays with these talks about whatever fact-free journalism and all that, I think it's good for your readers to know how your article actually sort of came into being.
Right, that there was a process behind it. And that also makes it a little more personal and, in my opinion, a little more exciting to read, I think. Just as a final question, and I'm quite intrigued by the Slow Criticism Project that you are the founder of. Would you like to tell me what it is?
The Slow Criticism Project has been going on, I think, for about maybe even already 10 years. I'm not sure. It's so loose. It's kind of a collection of weird ideas, conferences, projects, programs, little publications, interventions, and all that. But it really sort of came into being as a response to this so-called crisis in film journalism, where we saw that everything was speeding up. So publishing spaces became smaller and smaller. So all of a sudden you had the 200-word review, and it had to be written very fast because it had to be put online as soon as possible, especially at film festivals where we are now. And then we thought, okay, let's think about something else. Let's not sort of go with that currency, but let's try to talk about things in cinema that are maybe in the undercurrent, and try to sort of bring them up out in the open. So that's why we thought, okay, at that time, slow cooking was kind of the big thing.
Yeah.
Slow cinema wasn't coined as a name yet, but we have some affinities with that, of course. But it's kind of slow cinema is kind of take a step back, and it's more of a mentality like sort of look at the bigger picture and look at the broader horizon of what's going on in the world of cinema.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for taking the time to do the interview. And for now, this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.